Matthew 6 and look at verse number 25. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 25 says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment or clothing? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Therefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." And let's pray together, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, I'm so glad you know what's going on. I'm so glad you're in charge. Lord, you're not nervous or anxious about anything. Father, please, as your children, help us to focus on your word so we can do what you saved us to do. And Lord, we need your wisdom and your direction. Lord, there's no way we can do anything without your touch and help. So please help your word and bless it to our hearts tonight, please. And may you be lifted up, honored, and glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. The name of the sermon tonight is Everything's Going to Be All Right. You say, why? Maybe I'm the only one that's wondering, and I might be preaching just to myself tonight. But when you consider the topic, so everything's going to be all right, preacher. Yeah, I honestly believe everything's going to be all right. There's one catch. You ready? How do you define all right? As I prayed about it and looked at it, God tells us what he promises us is food and clothing. Your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. Okay? So God says, I will meet your needs and I'll take care of you. If I'll take care of the lilies, I'll clothe you. If I'll take care of the birds of the field and not one of them falls and dies without me knowing about it, and he says, aren't you more valuable to me than the sparrows? So the passage tells me, if you define the word all right, I think, scripturally, then I think you can understand why I'm saying everything's going to be all right. God doesn't think like you and me. God says his thoughts are higher than my thoughts, and his ways are higher than my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are God's ways and thoughts higher than mine. So here's what I have to be careful of. Every time life doesn't go my way, okay, or the way I think it should go, I have to remember God gets to veto, right? And God doesn't answer to me. And God didn't say, I will do what you expect of me. God says, I'll keep my word. And God doesn't say, I'm not going to do necessarily what you require. But God does say, I'll take care of you. That's how I know tonight, I believe everything's going to be all right. What I have to get used to is me thinking I need something that I haven't really needed, but I've been blessed with. Amen? So as I watch things change, I really do have a method behind my madness. As I'm watching things change, Or let's put it this way, as we watch some freedoms disappear, we've seen freedoms disappear before. Okay? That's why I wanted to show you the chart tonight. As I know and have taught Baptist history through the years, do you realize when Ephesians and Corinthians and Romans was penned in the time of the apostles? I've told you this before. The Christians had nothing to do with the government. They didn't vote, and nor did the Caesars care what the common man thought. They would soon just kill you as look at you. All right? It was a very bloody society. All right? But watch this. There's only America comes along in the 1700s. You know, if this is 1500, 1600, 1700, America comes along over here. But do you realize for the majority of church history, those Baptists, the Montanists and the Donatists and the Paulicians and the Paterines and the Albigenses and the Lollards, they served God, won souls, had church, obeyed the Bible without the government. So watch, for 1700 years since Jesus was here, only since America have we had freedom. You say, why are you saying this? Because if I don't need freedom to serve God, that's important. Well, look at what they're taking. Okay, how about this? They might take the guns. If they do, there have been millions of Christians who didn't have guns or swords or spears. Okay? They weren't allowed to. What does God require of me? Amen? And Sunday night, I'm going to give a message on the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. And where is the kingdom of God? In you. We're not fighting for a physical kingdom. And I think it'll help us, and I think it encourages me, and I want it to encourage you. Do you realize let's go up to the 300s, for 1400 years after the Roman Empire, right in here, all the way to America, do you know who was killing Christians? People that called themselves Christians. The Catholics were hunting the Baptists. You understand? There's only a 300-year period of time right here. The first 300 years is what they call the heroic years. That's where the Christians were being thrown to the lions and the Colosseum and, you know, lit on fire in Nero's yard, and all of the butchery that was happening here was because of the Roman government. But after this, these people they were monsters that called themselves Christians that were butchering Christians. And this is the majority of time. Somebody says, well, what happens if the government institutes persecution? I guess they could, but history is more consistent with Christians killing other Christians. You know what I mean? Let's say false Christians killing true Christians, Bible believers, than it is with the government pursuing people. All right. Now, I showed that to you to let you know that's one reason. An overview of history shows me, you know what? If I have the government and I've got the freedom of my nation, and I, it makes life easy, but I don't need it. I'm not, the only thing this is new to is I'm not used to being without it. You understand? But you realize when we get to heaven, the majority of the Christians up there were having church illegally, meeting in caves, and you know what I mean? We'll be the only group. Can you imagine meeting them and them saying, wow, we were cheering you on, you know, Hebrews chapter 12, right? We were cheering you on. You can do it. What was it like getting to have church in a free society? Man, we had to meet at night. We had to meet in caves, and we had to, I'll bet, how long were your church services? I'll bet you all stayed there for hours, didn't you? Well, McDonald's, you know, kind of. But can you imagine the questions as we fellowship in heaven with Christians who've gone before? And what we got to experience that they didn't, and watch this, what they experienced that we have not. Okay? So I wanted to give you one of those overviews. Okay? So let's next scripture. Let me take you to, here we go. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19. 1 Corinthians in your New Testament. I want you to see this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I really have. I've prayed about it and I've thought about it. How do I know everything's going to be all right? Well, I think history tells me that. The Bible tells me that. God tells me to define all right as, you know what? My heavenly Father, I've never missed a meal unless I wanted to. Amen. Now, sometimes I get so disturbed, fasting is easy. Okay? Sometimes fasting's harder than others. But sometimes I'm so disturbed with what's going on, I lose my appetite and everything else, and I don't want to eat. But God has promised to feed and to clothe me. Amen. To take care of me as his child. Watch this. Just like God's promised you. God didn't promise me a hot rod. Okay? I have a car that I don't drive as a hot rod. All right? I get in my car. I feel blessed. Did you know all of us right now? Everybody in here has more than Jesus had when he was here. The most successful, the God man, 100% God, 100% man, never owned a house. He didn't own a horse. He didn't know. He had the clothes on his back, and God used him to change the world. Amen. So anytime I start thinking, well, yeah, but I'm not going to have, and I'm not going to, I still have more than Jesus had when he was here. That thought needs to stay. Watch this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Watch this. 1 Corinthians 6, 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Tonight, everything's going to be okay, because if you're saved, you're the dwelling place of God. And there's no place you go that God doesn't go. Tonight, when you lay your head down on your pillow, God's closer to you than your next breath. You are the dwelling place of God. If you're saved, you're his child, and he dwells within you. Isn't it wonderful to know I don't have to know what I'm facing tomorrow, because God's going to be there with me? Now, if I want to, I can face it alone, but I don't have to. Amen? I can face it with the Lord, because he never leaves me nor forsakes me. Everything's going to be all right. Tonight, I'd like to tell you, how come everything's going to be all right? Because God loves you. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Right? Somebody says, oh, I just need son. How do I know God loves me? God died for you. Well, yeah, but I want God to meet this need and this need. If God doesn't give you what you want, he still died for you. And it says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. How much more could God love you than to die for you? Just because I'm a whiny baby and I don't get what I think I want, he still gave me all he had. Right? No, God loves you, and God expressed that love to you when he died for you. A healthy verse to know, watch this. Go to Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. I'm not going to have you go to all of these. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3. It's a good verse to see. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3. It says this. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. God says, I love you with an everlasting love. Isn't it wonderful to know? Take that one thought. God says, there's never a time I stop loving you, even when you don't love me. I've loved you with an everlasting love. And in spite of your stinky attitude sometimes and your stinking thinking, God says, I'm always passionate for you. No, God loves you. I'm going to read you a few verses, and I just want you to think. I didn't want you to have to turn to all of them, but just listen. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth or proved his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How about Ephesians 2:4-5, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. How about 1 John 4:8? But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. It was a great love, and it is a great love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. I didn't first love God. He loved me first, and his love is much greater. How do you know everything's going to be all right? Because God loves you. Doesn't it say in Jude verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God? You need to keep reminding. Don't forget. Okay, I love this thought. Does God love you? Yes or no? Does God love your family? Yes or no? Does God love your family more than you do? Yes, he does. Then everything's going to be all right. Isn't that wonderful? Keep yourselves in the love of God. Remind yourself. Well, what are we going to do? I don't know. Back up and just think. Praise God. God loves you. Amen. And watch this. If he loves me, that means he'll take care of me and give me what I need. Amen. So don't forget that. Everything's going to be all right because God loves you. I may not know all the details of the future, but I do know this. I do know that everything's going to be all right. God, okay, take your Bible, go to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Ready? Hebrews chapter, back to the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 13, and look at verse 5. I don't know what we're going to say to the Christians when we get to heaven that lived before us, but I'll bet in their time, I'll bet they fled to the Bible and memorized the Bible just like we're supposed to. Amen. I retreat. I run. The Lord is my refuge. They found strength for what they were doing. If anything, I think we're going to be shocked at how little we used the Bible. They would memorize, I've told you, pages. And only until you get up to, for 1400 years, every Bible was handwritten. The idea of printing one, nobody'd heard of that. It took 10 months to copy, 8 hours a day, probably 10 months to make a Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And now we can do them pretty much, I think they say it takes about 4 or 5 days on a printing press to run it through the binder and do everything. Because it was handwritten and it was so rare, they memorized it so much. The Bible was, they never knew when it was going to get taken from them because it was illegal to have a Bible. So man, while you got it, memorize it, read it and soak it up. Look at Hebrews 13:5. It says here, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. If I have God, I can be satisfied. I know some people have God, but they forget they have God. If I'll just remember the Lord is with me, he loves me, and he'll never leave me nor forsake me, then whatever I have is what he's given me and what he feels I need at that time. Let your conversation or your lifestyle be without covetousness and be content. Well, I don't have this, and I don't have this, and I don't have this, and I be content, because he hath said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And if you have me, whatever you need, I'll provide for you. Aren't you glad? That's Hebrews 13:5. I want you to go to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah. Back near Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. You've heard me quote John 14:18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. And the Lord God's promised he'll never put on me more than I can bear. I may be dealing with things I've never dealt with before. It may be a heavy load, but it's not so heavy. There's nothing I'm going through or will ever go through that has to destroy me. Because God's promised I'll never go through anything that I can't bear with his help. Amen. That's 1 Corinthians 10:13. That's a verse that's wonderful to memorize. You're there in Isaiah 43. Watch this. Look at verse 2. Isaiah 43, verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. What a verse. Neither shall the flame kindle upon me. Most have used this verse to say, when I cross that river of death and it's time to breathe my last sigh. Most refer to death as, you know, the river. I don't care if it's Pilgrim's Progress or whatever. I love that verse. I think it has to deal with more than death. Yeah, death can be terrifying because we've never experienced it before. But God says, when you pass through those waters, I'll be with you. I'll be with you. And if you have to go through the fire, you won't be burned. Just stick close to me. Isn't that a wonderful verse? That verse has come to my mind so many times. Well, I just don't know. Everything's going to be all right. I'm not psyching you out. I'm not trying to have a pep rally tonight. I'm trying to remind you of the promises of God. Maybe it's been a refuge for me too. Amen. I think of the verses. What lets you know everything's fine? It may be different, but everything's still all right. Because Isaiah 43, verse 2. I hope you mark at it and look at it. Go back two chapters. Watch this. How come everything's going to be all right? Go back to Isaiah 41 and look at verse 10. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. You know how come I know everything's going to be okay? Because God's promised to help me. And God's promise to help you. I wish when you read the Bible, you'd look at it, you'd say, that verse is God talking to me. Look at verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed or frozen with fear. That's what the word dismayed means. For I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Aren't you glad God wants to help you? Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. That tells me God doesn't help me do wrong. God helps me when I want to live for him and serve him. Amen. God says, I'll uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. And if you take verse 10 and link it to verse 12, the whole passage is wonderful, but look at verse 12. It says here, verse 13. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. What a verse. I just couldn't help but picture, you know, whether it was a daddy, you know, I pictured Brother Doggett walking, you know, and his kids holding on to his hand. I pictured my kids, you know, growing up and, you know, daddy, can we go for a walk? And what happens when they fall? You do this, right? Didn't let their knee scrape. They tripped. It was, oh. And you'd set them back on their feet, right? That's standard operating procedure, right? And God says, while you're walking, God says, I'll hold your hand. And I can't help but that picture, that Romans chapter 8, where we cry, Abba, Father, Daddy. And I just picture going, I'm going through this world. I'm not alone. And he's holding my hand. And it says in Psalms, when he falls, I'll lift him up. Have you ever pictured your Heavenly Father doing that? How do I know everything's going to be okay? Because God's promised to help me. God's promised to help me. Let's look at another verse. Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I know these are a lot of points tonight, but things I would make my list and I was putting verses and then the Lord had helped me get another verse and ooh, this needs to be on that list too. Romans 8:28. How about this? Ready? We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. You better read the verse carefully. It does not say all things are good. It doesn't say God works everything together for good for everybody. It says God works all things, that means all of the bad things that can happen in life. He's the only one that can work it together for, it does not, it also does not say for my good. You better be careful if you interpret it, well, this is supposed to work out for my good. I believe it's for God's good. Whatever I love the Lord for, He brings me through, gives Him glory if I handle it right. And God says, you may not like this and this and this and this that you're going through, but if you'll just love me and let me deal with it, I'm the only one that can take all of those things that you don't like and work them together for God's glory. It might be for your good. It isn't always. If you read, that's a promise in the Bible. We know all things work together for good. All I have to do is love God and let Him take care of everything else. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Well, Lord, what am I going to do about this? And what am I going to do about this? And Lord, if this happens, and then if that, and God says, just hush. Let me deal with it. All I need you to do is love me. Just love me, and I'll take care of everything. Yes, everything's going to be all right because God loves you. And I do know this. If you'll work at loving God back, amen. Just, it isn't wonderful. I got to do this and this and this. No, you don't. You just need to love God. It's not a list, you know, 3 pages long. You love God and let Him take care of it. There's a lot of things that you're going to have to let God deal with. There's a lot of things you're not going to be able to explain. I don't know how, you know, that timeline I showed you with the Christians. You know how many of them dealt with watching each other be put to death? And then after the armies left, after they smashed the baby's brains on the rocks, after they fried the people, some of them they ate, some of them they stuffed gunpowder down their throats and blew their heads off in front of them. After the army left, they comforted each other, they helped each other. But how do you explain that? You'd have to turn that over to God or you'd lose your mind. Amen? There's things that our forefathers have dealt with that nobody could. I'm just going to find out when I get to heaven. But I can't explain it. And it was horrific. It was disturbing. Now, that's easy preaching, hard living, right? But history tells me. History does not I love it how history validates how people have lived the Bible. That encourages me. Amen. But we know all things work together for good to them that love God. Christian, if you'll just love God, you say, well, what happened? Just love God and let God deal with the rest of it. Just fall in love with Jesus and let Him deal with it. That's another way I know things are going to be all right. Okay, how about this? Go to Romans chapter 9. You're in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 9, look at verse 22. What if God, willing to show His wrath and to make His power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? And that He might make known the riches of His glory, and then I have this underlined in my Bible, on the vessels of mercy. Do you know who the vessels of mercy are? Verse number 24 tells you, even us. It's us. I'm just a vessel of His mercy. And I love that song. If you haven't heard it, it's a Kenny Calloway song. I'm just a vessel of mercy. I'm someone, you're someone that God wants to work through to help other people. Every Christian is that way. We're all vessels. What a title. I'm just a vessel. God lives within me, and I'm His vessel of mercy. He showed mercy to me, and God works through me. God wants to work through you also. Watch this. How do I know everything's going to be all right? Go to John. Go back now to the book of John, chapter 13. John chapter 13. John chapter 13, and look at verse 34. Look, if I give you, I know there's two more points tonight, but I'm hoping something sticks. Amen. So when you go home, I'm sure everybody's bothered to some extent. Some are more bothered than others, but you got to have something to you got to have a pressure release valve. And I just love the thought. Everything's going to be all right. I don't know what the future holds. There's something, just turn it over to the Lord. Amen. God, what do you require of me? What do I need to do, and what did you save me to do? You're there in the book of John. Watch this. John chapter 13, verse 34. Ready? A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. You see, what they had in the Old Testament was love thy neighbor as thyself. And Jesus just upgraded it and said, because I live in you, I want you to love each other as I have loved you. What's that tell you? That tells me this. I'm supposed to focus on all of the relationships God has given me. My family, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. And I think what some of this is doing is it's filtering through the social media. It's amazing to me how many people think they have relationships because of the social media. You don't have a relationship with anybody you can't look in the eye. You have an acquaintance. But that's all social media is good for. Twitter, Facebook, all of that stuff. That's why gathering is so important. I don't care if it's with family or God's idea of assembling as a church. You do not have a relationship. Well, I got 526 followers that can click you off in one click. That's not a relationship. Say one thing you don't like and go, oop, no more follow you. That's not a relationship. Jesus said, when you go through some of the hard times in life, God says, I want you focusing, because it'll help you, on the relationships I give you. Family should be important. Amen. Each other, brothers and sisters in Christ, church members, we should be important to each other. Do you realize the Christians that have met before, they were all they had? They were meeting in secret. Praise God, we get to invite visitors to church, but they couldn't tell anybody where they met for fear of being found out. If you got saved and you just didn't lead someone to Christ and invite them to church, you led people to Christ and you tried to disciple them, and then you tried to figure out, if I invite you to my church, are you going to turn us in? It was a whole different ball of wax. Whole different playing field. They're all they had. All they had was each other. And sometimes they would meet and four chairs would be empty. Where's so-and-so? They came and got them today. They're in the Colosseum. Would that make church tender? Love one another like I love you, because I live inside of you. Now, a new commandment. It's a new commandment. I love that thought, and I love the thought of the tenderness and the loving each other as Christians, like we're supposed to. Amen. One more. Go to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. I told you tonight, everything's going to be all right because you're saved. If you're saved. Now, if you ain't saved, you got bigger problems than anything else going on in the world. Amen. You might die in a moment or whatever and burn in hell, and then that never stops. But if you're saved, God's already showed you His love for you. You responded to it. You accepted Him as your Savior. He lives within you. God's promised to never leave you, and He wants to help you. All you have to do is put God first and love Him, and then let Him work everything out for good. God told me the most important people in my life are the relationships that He's given me. And then look at Acts chapter 27. Look at verse 29. Then fearing, lest we should have fallen upon the rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. Just hoped it would turn out right. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Watch verse 31. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, "Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved." What else would you tell me, Pastor, when things like this happen that I don't like, that I wish were different, that I can't stand, that frustrates me? I'd tell you the same thing Acts 27 verse 31 says, stay in the ship. You say, what's that mean? The man of God said, stay in the ship, and the ship is what God has given you to make the journey. There's three things. Stay with the Lord. Stay dwelling with Him, John 15. Stay in His Word. Stay in the ship. Stay in the Bible. Don't get out of the ship. And stay in the local church. You say, you're saying that because you're a pastor. No, I'm saying that because I'm a child of God and I'm a Christian. Stay in the ship. And I think the verse is, God's word is just wonderful. God tells us, unless you stay in the ship, you can't be saved through the heartache. Use what I've given you. I've given you myself. I've given you my word. And I've given you my church. Stay in the ship. Don't bail. We got it. Careful. There are some things that, it doesn't matter what the future holds, there are some things in the future that have to stay consistent. They've got to have your regimentation. For what? For your health. Amen. Don't get out of the ship. You say, you're just saying that. No. I'm saying stay in the book. That book should be your refuge point. Amen. You know what? Let's go to one more place, and I promise you this is it. Go to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. There's so many verses, and I'll close with this tonight. But everything I'm not psyching myself up. I'm not talking myself into it. If I say it enough, I'll believe it. No, I believe God wants me to trust Him and walk with Him. And everything's going to be all right. Things are not the way I like. When I'm frustrated, God says, well, I don't answer to you. You're not in control. And aren't we all glad that I'm not God? Right? So God says, why don't you praise me that you're not me and praise me? You're not in control like you think you are. So look at Psalm 37. I like what God tells you to do here. Look at verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Fret not thyself because of evildoers.
Well, they stole the election.
It's not the only thing the world's done. They've done it before. Fret not thyself. Quit worrying about it. Look at verse 2. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Look at verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Just trust Him. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Just trust me, God says, I'll take care of you. Look at verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Allow yourself to enjoy God, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. What a verse. What a promise. Just enjoy God. Enjoy being saved. Be glad you're never going to die and go to hell. Be glad God's given you His word. And then I think you need to interpret this verse right too. It doesn't say God will give you everything you desire. I believe it says if you'll enjoy God, allow yourself to enjoy the Lord, He'll give you the wants. Things to want that are right. And you'll want things that are eternal. He'll give you the right desires of your heart. I don't think it means, I'd really like just a big cake right now with a scoop of ice cream on it. 5 of them for comfort food to get through this. That's not what God's talking about. He says, I'll give you the desires, or I'll give you the proper wants of your heart if you'll just allow yourself to enjoy me. Look at the next verse. We'll just work our way down to verse 9. Watch this. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass, and He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. God's timeline. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger. Don't get frustrated about it. And forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Don't ever use what you're using, what you're going through to justify anything wrong. Well, I'm just under a lot of pressure now, and I need to, God says, do not allow yourself to do wrong because of what you're going through. You know how many people say, well, I just deserve to sin because I've been through so much. Nobody deserves to sin. Don't allow yourself to do that. It says here, cease from anger. Look at verse 9. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. When are we going to finally see the return from this? It ain't now. We inherit the earth when Jesus reigns. Right? There were plenty of Christians that were doing right that never saw, quote unquote, an America. Even our forefathers that were fighting. When they went to war with England, and said, it's time for us to separate. They didn't say, well, this war is going to last about 2.5 years and we're free. They didn't know how it was going to turn out. Right? There's some Christians that never saw their freedoms. Amen? But they stood for right. I love verse chapter 37 because you can go through in verse 1, underline the words, fret not. In verse 3, trust in the Lord. Underline those words. Verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Verse 7, underline the words, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Verse number 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Then underline the words, fret not thyself. And then in verse 9, those that wait upon the Lord. Underline the words, wait upon the Lord. God tells me what to do when I'm stressed, when I'm frustrated. He says, knock it off. Stop. Get your bearing and trust in me. Everything's going to be all right as long as you define the word all right correctly. Amen. We have a wonderful Heavenly Father. I love this thought. He has such a wonderful heart of love. He'd never do anything to hurt anybody.
Well, yeah, but this is...
Then there must be some things he knows that you don't. Amen. And I can rest in his love. And I hope tonight's truth helps you like it's helped me. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, please use this tonight. Help this for each family, each home, each person. And Lord, to turn our eyes upon you, the things of this world grow strange.